You are what you say you are, a superstar. Then have no fear, the camera's here and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, 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 yeah.
Hey, this is Scott Clifton, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Star Dish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is March 25th, 2010. I am, of course, your host, Joanne. The call-in number here is 347-945-5423. Guests in the chat room, please register with Blog Talk Radio so you can participate in the chat tonight with the rest of us. It only takes a minute. It's free. And it's a pretty cool site. There's a lot of other shows on here besides Star Dish. And there's Brandon's Buzz and Buzzworthy and In the Zone. And there's a lot of shows to look at. So check that out. Calendar updates. March 29th, Joan Benedict Steiger, the widow of Academy Award winner, the late Rod Steiger, is composing her memoirs, and she'll be stopping by to give an insight on her life in the entertainment business and her personal life as well. It's, if you're really into old-time movies, old-time actors, actresses, this is a show that you want to get into, because we're going to be name-dropping a lot of big stars in this show. March 31st, Steven Martinez, a.k.a. Colton Scott, who is best known for his role on General Hospital as Nicholas Castellan, is coming by. He's got a new role on the CW's The Vampire Diaries, and we'll be talking about that. Then April 1st, big show. It's Star Dish Radio's second anniversary. I'm very happy to say my guest that day will be daytime legend David Canary, Adam Chandler, Stuart Chandler from All My Children. He's going to be making a rare radio appearance to help celebrate the second anniversary of the show. I'm very honored that he's going to do that, because he doesn't really do this too much at all. We'll be talking about his retirement from All My Children after the last 27 years and a lot of other stuff. So don't miss out on that one. My guest tonight, however, is pretty much a newbie when it comes to daytime. And what an addition he is. He's bringing life to a canvas that so desperately needed some shakeup in the area of the oh-so-perfect world of teen love between Marco and Langston. It would not be a soap opera without its resident homewrecker. We all know this. All My Children had Tad the Cat, and matter of fact, 20-some-odd years later, they still have him. And Landview has adopted Ford. They could not have cast a better, hotter actor to stir up some drama for these love-struck teenagers. Please give a warm Star Dish welcome to the magnificent David A. Gregory.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing fine, hon. Doing fine. Glad we got this together. Very happy to have you here on the show.
Me too. I feel like I should hang up now, because after an intro like that, I don't know how much I can live up to it, but I sure appreciate it.
Oh, that's it. Well, David, you know, you are very new to the so-called daytime world and acting world, and give us a little bit of background on you. I know you came from Alaska. I mean, that's got to be an amazing thing right there to me, period, because Alaska seems like a whole country away, you know. But so give us a little background on you, Alaska, and how you got into acting.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised up there, lived there for about 18 years, and then decided to go off to college in Ohio. So that was essentially the big move. Coming to New York was the next logical choice. The program that I went through for musical theater showcases its seniors here in New York so that we can get agent representation and hopefully start a career. But up until that point, I was just kind of in the dark about, you know, I knew I wanted to perform, but up in Alaska, I just didn't know if it was actually feasible. I mean, everybody, I think, at some point has some kind of dream to, you know, be a movie star or whatever. So initially, I think my parents thought it might wear off a little bit, just because I was a kid that wanted to be in plays and you know, goof around and go to rehearsal and that kind of thing. But it kind of stuck through high school. And when I started missing baseball practice for, you know, play rehearsal, I think then that's when we thought this might actually be something. So studied dance through high school and was sort of aiming towards musical theater. And when I got out of college with that kind of training, I fell into the lap of some TV and film auditions and got this One Life to Live gig pretty surprisingly, in my opinion. I didn't really see it coming. I knew that this was a direction I wanted to go into, and still kind of reeling from the surprise of it all. And I know I'm blessed to be in the position that I'm in, and I absolutely love my job. And I can say that with all honesty.
Tell me about your audition process for One Life to Live.
Sure. Well, let's see. They were looking to cast a reoccurring role of Ford. I think they were looking to make him maybe 8 or 9 episodes last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just supposed to come on sort of to buffer David Vickers, who's been a very popular character on the show for years, played by Tuck Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not only an incredible actor, but a well-known character in the soap world. And so I came on, and well, I guess first I'll start from the beginning. I went in to audition for the casting director, Julie, and you go through a lot of auditions. After a while, you start to think nothing of it because you kind of drop it as soon as you've done it, so you don't kind of hang on to it and get yourself attached to the idea of, oh, this could have really happened. A lot of auditions can go well, and then you leave the room and not get cast, and sometimes things turn out much better for auditions you thought that you didn't do so well on. So I thought nothing of it, got a call back a couple of days later, and me and 6 other Fords basically showed up for this, and we all read for the executive producer. And again, you're sitting there looking at your competition, you think, well, any one of these guys could do it, and I sort of ruled out the possibility. Got on a train, a subway to go back home, and before I got off the train, I had a phone call in my voicemail from my agent saying I had booked the job and that I would keep within a couple of days, and I was just floored. I cannot even tell you. I came off of about 7 months of no work and sort of not had given up theater and film, but had just thought, I need to be making money and need to be looking for a steady, regular job like everybody else. And if that kind of work comes, then it comes. If not, I just need to be, making a living like everybody else. And I was unbelievably relieved and started rehearsal and filming soon after that. And it was just kind of like being dumped into, a very cold pool of water because I did not know what I was doing. I felt very unsure. But again, the people that I was working with were very, gracious and knew that I was the new kid on the block and really tried to help me with that. And I still feel like I'm learning, but I'm surrounded by good people that are very patient, even the crew. Everybody's just very patient, and they know that a lot of actors get some great training on shows like that. And
right.
So, again, lucky to be in that position, and now I feel like I'm starting to get the hang of it.
your scenes are seamless, so if there's any hint of anxiousness or anxiety, it certainly doesn't come across on the television screen. So,
I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. You play a bad boy very well.
He's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, who did you screen test with?
Well, initially it was just because it was a recurring role. They didn't think that they wanted to make it a ongoing thing, and so initially it was the original audition was just with the casting director, and then the one callback was with Frank Valentini, the executive producer. And so they knew it was going to be like 8 or 9 episodes. And I think my last episode aired September 16th. And I got a call about a week later from my agent saying they'd like to have you back in a contract position. You would start, early November, late October. And, we just want you to think about this for a while because this is, it's a big step and it's something that would be good for you to do. But obviously you have the final say. And my initial reaction was like, yeah, I'd love to. I guess I just couldn't believe that it was actually happening. So because usually for contract roles, they will screen test and they will sort of draw out the process. It could even take a couple months. And because things were happening so fast, I think I was just a little unsure of myself just because it did just come up. But I took that as a compliment and sort of ran with it and signed the contract and came back to the show. The vibe was a little different because it was kind of like I had earned my keep, you know, to be asked back. And especially thankful to fans because I feel like a lot of it was in response to the infamous bucket scene, I'm told, was what kind of got fans going to sort of vie to bring back the character and make sure that he had a more extensive stay on the show. So I am grateful for that as well.
Now, are you surprised, now that you've been out there a while, are you surprised at the loyalty of the daytime fans? I mean, because I know you get stalked at the studio. There's no way that there aren't people out there 24/7 while you're taping.
Sure. well, we just did the ABC Daytime Broadway Cares this last. And that was my first sort of taste of what kind of loyalty you're talking about. I know that soaps especially have a very strong following, but I didn't know to what extent. And that is like a shock. And walking out on the stage and people just, it's like a rock concert. And afterwards there was a fan event where we talked to them and you know, took pictures. And it was good for us, at least for me, because, you know, you shoot your scenes and you go home at the end of the day and you kind of forget about it until it airs, if you happen to catch it. But to be able to meet the people that are enjoying your work and are very invested in it is very rewarding. So I was having just as much of a good time as they were, I think. Initially it was surprising, but now that I can see, you know, it's a daily show and these characters are part of these people's lives, you know, every day, it's very rewarding to see. And I'm, again, just very thankful that there's still that kind of following when I think some would consider soaps a dying breed right now just because of cancellations and, you know, with the onset of reality television and certain things that replace certain programming during the day.
Right.
It's nice to see, especially, you know, I'm looking at it from my perspective as a New York actor that has work and, you know, with the situation with the economy, it's, I think most actors in New York have had it rough at least one time or another. So I'm just enjoying the ride. it's been great.
What kind of odd jobs did you do for 7 months before you got this role?
Sure. I actually had a job where I was on the streets of New York asking people for their credit card number. We were trying to get people to sign up to support children overseas by giving them basic, you know, food, shelter, and clothing, and schooling. And it's a great cause, but you try getting people on the streets of New York to give out their cell phone number to support a cause. It becomes a little shaky. So that was the first job I got fired from.
Right.
And then after that, I got a job working with the new Tracy Anderson method. She's a personal trainer that has a new method that incorporates like cardio and dance and some strength training, but it mostly sort of a hybrid of cardio and dance, like jazzercise on steroids kind of. And so I was kind of put in the mix as one of her trainees that was going to eventually train other people, and had started that job, which was a great job that was sort of physically active, something that I could kind of sink my teeth into. And within a few days of actually beginning training with them is when I got this, when I landed One Life to Live. And so kind of traded it out and didn't actually have to do it. But I'm glad that I kind of went through that because it sort of put everything in perspective. You just never know when things are going to go well, and you also never know when things are going to go not so well. So it makes me really relish the time that I do have that, you know, things are going well, and just take everything with a grain of salt. And with that, just having the time of my life.
Oh, well, you know, it is a ride, especially for the newbies that come on. But I'm going to tell you this, as I've told everyone that I've ever had on this show that started out from scratch, as far as not really being in daytime, always remember where you started on soaps and always remember the fans that kept you there because they will follow you forever and a day.
Yes, they will.
I'll tell you right now, the soap fans not are only just loyal, they can turn on you at the drop of a dime if they feel that the actor turns their back on the fans. I've seen it. So sure. That's just like my fair warning. You know, I tell everybody that. So
I
welcome to the daytime world. I really do.
Thank you.
You're a joy to watch on screen. I spoke to Brittany and Kristen back in January, I think it was. January, I was at the studios. Actually, we did a little luncheon for the Kramer women.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, so I was there, and we did a little thing, and I said to Kristen and Brittany that, you know, it was time to shake up this little Fab Four, which they're called. They're known as Brittany, Kristen, Brandon, and Jason are known as the Fab Four. And
uh-huh.
It's just a little too perfect in the world of teens, which in real life, it's never that perfect.
Right.
So
right.
It was definitely time for them to shake it up. So now I'm really glad that, and Brittany told me that some stuff was coming up. So we originally planned this interview for tomorrow, but she got stuck at school. So we'll have to get her take on it on another day. So I'm glad we had
sure.
you.
So sure.
Tell me what you knew about these kids going into this home wrecking kind of role, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
Because
sure.
you're
well.
Not really right now ready to put a ring on her finger or be her boyfriend. You're just really putting notches in your bedposts or couch
right. just having
arms.
A good time.
So,
well, I'll be honest with you. When I first joined the show, I think the first scenes that I had with Marco and Langston last summer, I got the script, and I didn't know much about anything, obviously, and I thought Langston was a dude when I read the script. And then as it turned, I was like, oh, I better look this up. You know, this is you know, these are well-established characters, and I should probably do my research a little bit before I go into rehearse and shoot this. You know, when they asked me to come back as far as a contract role, I didn't know. I knew that I was coming in between the Marco and Langston characters and that was going to be sort of a driving point in their storyline for the next few months. But I didn't
mm-hmm.
know that Ford was going to take a different turn. When he first came on, he was, for all they knew, you know, nice and easygoing you know, some pretty chill for somebody in his position as a young film producer that was coming to Landview to do this reality television show. But as we started doing that, Frank, some of the other directors were pushing me to basically be more reckless and sort of give Marco a harder time. I think even starting out the first scene I did coming back with at a New Year's Eve party, and obviously Ford can drink, but Marco's too young, so Ford yeah. definitely makes a point of showing that. So I think it took me a while to settle into the idea that they wanted him to be sort of a bad guy. And just not really care. If he wants something, he goes after it, which in certain instances, because he's very intelligent and he has good reason, at least in the way he convinces Langston, you know, why they should get together. He has very interesting arguments, I should say. And so in his mind, he's just not a bad dude. He's just going after what he wants. And some people find that quality very attractive, that he's very assertive and goes after it. Now I'm starting to understand that character more and be more comfortable with it. And now just with, you know, things kind of coming to a head here in the next couple months, I think we're going to see some very interesting mix with that. So that's fun to play. And I think mm-hmm. I finally settled into the idea that, you know, he's just to everybody else, he's just kind of a bad dude. I think he's on girl number 3 or 4 now, and he just kind of bouncing all over the place, which makes it interesting to play.
It does, and he reminds me a lot of the character Tad from All My Children back in his heyday, you know, and Tad is still on that show 20-some
uh-huh.
odd years later. Back in those days, yeah, Tad, he was called Tad the Cat, and he slept with everybody and their mother, and that's not a lie. He slept with a character and that character's mother. So, yeah,
wow.
So that's who you kind of remind me of right now. But Ford is a little bit more callous than Tad was. Tad was a little bit more charming, and Ford is a little bit more like, all right, now, let's do it, baby. You know, you like the thrill
yeah.
of getting caught and that kind of thing. So I kind of like that with this person that they have created for you.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
So now, talk to me about working with Brittany. She's such a sweet girl.
Oh, yeah, she is. And first of all, I should tell you, at this soap event we just did for Broadway Cares, I had so many moms coming up to me and saying, you better leave our girl alone. They're very attached to her.
yes.
She's a very sweet girl, and she's so smart. She's so prepared in the sense that she knows what she wants to do when she comes into work, but she's not too married to the idea of, you know, what she wants to do in a scene, that she isn't open to suggestions. And so me still kind of learning the craft a little bit, have learned a lot from her, but she's also willing to listen to my ideas, and we have a great time working. I made sure to tell people at this event that specifically between the three of us, Brittany, Jason, and myself, we get along great. We have a lot of time doing these scenes, and we just have a great time together. And so I think it's a very friendly vibe, and there's really nothing like enjoying the work you do and the people you do it with. And mm-hmm. As simple as that sounds, I feel like it's very rare to say. And
you can't enjoy your work if you don't like the people you work with. So
absolutely,
and that goes with any job.
Yeah, and it's not just her professionalism; it's also that she's fun to be around and knows how to get the work done and still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very contagious, for sure.
Now, on the soap, there's such a wealth of characters still that you have pretty much yet to work with. Who are you looking forward to crossing paths with, or hoping that you'll cross paths with?
Yeah, I actually have really admired Brian Kerwin, who plays Charlie.
Yeah.
I've seen him in movies, and I'm a big fan of the show Frasier, and I was watching some reruns the other day, and he has a very significant role as somebody's ex-husband on the show, and I couldn't believe his comedy chops. And then he's got this whole storyline going on, you know, recently with his bout with alcohol on One Life, and he's just got such a range. And I feel like I'm kind of awestruck by him every time I see him, which is kind of rare because we tend to only run into the actors that we have scenes with because the show has such a large cast. But he is one I would say right at the top of my head. I really enjoy watching, I would say, the adult cast work. I love watching Florencia, of course, Erica, mm-hmm. and Robin Strasser. And I love watching Jerry, who plays Clint.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, solid actors that lead this show. And so, yeah, get me in any scene with them, and I'd be having the time of my life.
Yep. Now, did you ever see Brian Kerwin on Roseanne?
No, I didn't. I mean, I'm not surprised. He's done so much.
No, it's so funny because I watched Roseanne the entire time it was on television. And when Brian came on to One Life to Live, I was like, God, I know that guy from somewhere. He's been in a million things. But Roseanne repeats every night on TV Land. And also on like Oxygen or something. He actually played Roseanne's sister Jackie's boyfriend. And he was on there for a long time. He was on there for like a whole season, and he was really good on it. But, you know, he was a lot thinner and younger, of course. So
sure.
I didn't recognize him at first. But, yeah, he was on Roseanne. Not a lot of people remember that.
Oh, he's stellar. Whether it's comedy or, you know, real heavy drama, he's got it all. And
oh,
I know
yeah.
he did last year, August Osage County on Broadway, that won the Tony for Best Play. He was in that original mm-hmm. cast. And he's covered everything, I think, and yeah, he's kind of my celebrity. I'm just awe inspired every time I walk by. I'm just like, oh, that's Brian Kerwin.
That's cute. All right, well, I'm gonna come over here to the phone because I have people waiting in line to talk to you. We're gonna start with area code 781. This is Jackie from Boston. Jackie, are you there?
Yeah.
Say hi.
Hello.
To,
hi.
Say hi to David.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Sorry, I'm just a little.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, what is it like to have to play the role that you play and have to do the things that you do on the show? Like, does it ever get awkward for you?
I can tell you initially it was, just because I didn't know that that's the direction that they were going to go with the guy. I thought they still wanted him to be nice, so I was trying to play nice. But then, you know, some of the lines and some of the things he has to do, I just thought, well, this guy didn't sound very nice. So as weird as that sounds, it took me a while to understand that he was, you know, going to be a little sleazy. And I think one of the moments I realized that was they had me doing a scene with Cassie, who plays Blair. And the scene ends with her giving me a kiss, kind of like testing me to see if I'm, you know, good for Langston or, you know, just another troublemaker. And I feel like that was one point, because I think I met Cassie in the hallway the day before we shot that. And she was like, hi, we're kissing tomorrow. I just thought I'd introduce myself because I haven't met you yet. And I hadn't read that script yet. And I was just like, what is going on with this guy? He's just all over the place. And in real life, I have a girlfriend and I'm very much unlike Ford in that sense. But it does make it interesting to play, and it can be fun to be sneaky and underhanded sometimes.
Does that answer your question, Jackie?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
No problem.
Poor girl, she was so nervous to call in. She was in the chat. Should I call?
Aww. Oh, no.
We have a lot
of
people
calling,
like
Jackie.
They get tongue-tied. This next person is actually Georgette, and she is Brittany's fan club president.
Oh, great.
And she's a big fan of yours. Georgette,
oh,
say
good.
Hi to David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm great, Georgette. It's good to talk to you.
You too. I left you a Facebook post the other day and telling you
that.
I was excited. So I'm sorry. I love Jason, and of course I love Brittany, but I love Ford and Langston, all about it. All for it.
I'm so glad to hear that.
And she says the same thing to me because she's like, you would not believe how many people hate them. And I said, well, that's expected because obviously you're breaking up a core couple that's been on for 3 years or so. So, I mean, really, what do you expect? But I love them. I think they needed this shakeup, and I think it was time for it to finally happen. And I know a lot of my friends are going to start yelling at me and tweeting me and saying, what's wrong with you? Why? But I love them. I don't know. I think I like it because Ford is a douchebag, but I think that there's some side of him that could come out that is really actually a good guy deep down inside.
Sure. My feeling right now is that this might just be in my own head just to help me play certain scenes, but I feel like he's been in Marco's position before somewhere in his past, and maybe that, you know, because that hurt so much, he just decided, you know what, I'm going to go after whatever I want. I don't care who is a casualty, you know, in the meantime, because there's scenes where he has sometimes where he's pretty nice to Marco, and, you know, talking about his project, he's like, you know, I think you have real talent. You know, I think you're a good kid. He could just be messing with him a little bit, but I think there's some kind of, I don't want to say a softy down inside him, but I think he's not completely cold. I think there's a human side to him, but, you know, because right now he's still pretty new to Landview, it doesn't really matter just because no one knows him yet.
What's going to really make me mad is if they really make him, like, a douchebag the whole time and, like, not really have a soft side to him and then, like, dump Langston. That's just... And that was that's pointless to me. Like, what's the
Right, I agree, because they've been setting up so well, and their conversations have been, you know, pretty intelligent. And I think there's a part of him that's really fallen for this girl. And it would be kind of awkward if he was just a one-hit wonder and was just that guy in the show that just kept, you know, jumping from girl to girl. I think, you know, Langston's fiery and she's pretty feisty, that there's something there that I think is genuine. It's coming about in a sort of an awkward way because a lot of people are sort of mowed down in the process. But I'm glad you think that way because that helps me to know. I have to go into work tomorrow and I'm armed with a good attitude about it. So that's great to hear.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that I really don't have any questions for you,
Sure.
But
I'm
keep
glad
up
you,
great
I'm
work.
Glad you said so. Thank you
keep
so much.
Keep up the great work.
It.
Hope to meet you one day soon. I'll be in New York soon, probably for my birthday. So
great.
I hope I'll meet
well,
you,
you know
when I'm
are.
There with when I'm Brittany. Yep.
That's great. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye bye,
Joanne.
Hey. Yeah, well, I definitely agree with her. You know, they are going to, I think, in my opinion, they're definitely going to explore Ford's backstory. And I think you're right on, spot on that possibly something happened to him as a youth, you know, when he's just kind of lashing out a little bit. But I think Langston's going to be the one to kind of tame him down a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I think she's, you know, because she's a wild child herself, or at least.
Yeah.
Formally, and I kept wanting to do like a play on words because her last name is Wild, and Ford's always talking about her wild side, and I just thought there's got to be something there we can use, maybe even too cliche for even a soap, but I think there's something about how she's full of spit and vinegar sometimes, and the fact even that they go at it sometimes between those two, it's very very appealing to him. And sort of that's the only thing that can make him weak is the fact that she goes toe-to-toe with him. And it's fun to read. It's fun to play. It's,
right.
Yeah, it's,
well,
I mean, it's...
As they develop, as the two characters develop and your fan base for the characters start to develop, they'll build a name for you guys. I mean, right now, for Langston and Marco are called Marco.
Uh-huh.
L-A-R-K-K-O. So you will get that name, too, eventually, I'm sure. But you've got to remember, too, that with these fans, especially the younger fans, these are like their super couples, Cole and Star and Langston and,
sure.
and Marco. So, but all super couples come to an end. I mean, look at Luke and Laura. They didn't last. It doesn't always,
right.
you know, there's no happy endings in soap. Sorry, guys. You know, if you want a happy ending, go watch Disney. It's not happening on the
That's great.
Happening. let's go over here to area code 914, which is a Westchester County number, and I know that because that's where I'm from. So who is this? Area code 914.
Hi, David. It's Michelle.
Oh,
hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If Ford doesn't succeed in breaking up Langston, who do you want to see your character with?
Ooh, that's tricky. Because I mean, Ford has a tendency to go a little younger than himself, but I think he could. I think he could go after somebody older. I don't know now, because here's what's interesting, and I don't know how many fans I'm going to make upset by saying this, but the idea that Jessica is sort of lost in her. Right now, what if
stay
Ford
out of that
played
family.
On? What if Ford played on that?
I agree with Michelle. You don't want them Buchanan.
Stay out of the family.
No.
Stay out of that family.
That's a great question. I'm a little caught off guard, to tell you the truth. I'd have to think about that. Can I ask if there was anybody else you'd want to see Ford with? Is there anybody on your mind that you think would be interesting?
Taya.
Oh, I could see that. Okay.
I actually see
that.
Blair.
Or Blair, yeah, that's a good one, Joanne Blair.
Blair's a cougar, man. Blair sleeps with everybody.
And Ford and Blair have kind of had a run-in already. I wonder, I mean, they would easily be able to be picked up. But I like Taya, because that doesn't seem like an obvious choice to me. That seems like, that
true
seems
true.
Like it could be.
Natalie needs a boyfriend.
Natalie does, yeah.
They need to put now. I mean, not that I like the Buchanan family too much. You know, the girls. I'm a little. They're a little played out. But I would like to see Natalie with somebody different, other than John, or you know, someone that everybody in her family slept with. So yeah, that would be a good one.
Sure.
Oh wait, Joanne.
Yes.
David, how about Ford and Roxy?
That's out of left field. I can see that. They just go at it. Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I tell you, Eileen Christian would probably love the idea.
Oh, I need her.
She's so much fun. I actually talked to her the other night. She's so much
fun. Yeah, she's a good friend, definite good friend. I could definitely see you with that. So, anyway, Michelle, didn't you want to talk about an event that Ford is going to be at? David is going to be at?
Yes, David is going to be at Prohibition on April 18th.
Mm-hmm.
from 4 to 7 with a bunch of his fellow actors. Eileen will be there, too, so maybe we can hook them up.
What is it for?
It's for the Association to Benefit Children in Harlem. It's for special
okay.
needs kids. And all the information is on the One Life to Live website, too.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. That's fabulous. All right.
Time.
Well, you guys, if you're going to be in the New York area, go to the One Life to Live website and get the details. I'm sure Michelle could put a link or something in the chat room for you guys to look up. And go meet David.
He's sweet.
That'd be great.
He's nice. He doesn't bite.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Michelle.
All right. Thanks, Julian. Bye, David.
All right. Bye-bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
That's funny. I will be in New York in May, actually, May 12th. There's a Pause the AIDS event at Prohibition that
okay.
I'll be attending. Yeah,
great.
So if you're around, you should definitely come because Eileen will be there also. A lot of people from that the soap world will be there. I think
wow,
it's kind of like it's like an open thing, you know, no invitation necessary kind of deal.
Just kind of stop in.
Yeah, yeah. Christopher Maloney is going to be there, which I'm excited about. Now, which law and order did you work on?
I worked on, I guess, what the locals would call the mothership, just Law and Order.
Just Law and Order. Okay. This is another thing. I watched all of Law and Order, and I'm sure that once I see the episode you were in, I'll say, oh, God, now I remember. But which two detectives were there when you worked on it?
I worked on it in 2008, so we had Jeremy Sisto and Anthony Anderson were the two detectives.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get to meet them. I worked with more on the courtroom side, so I met Linus Roach and Sam Waterston. Again, you know, it's like you see it on TV, and being on those sets, it's so surreal. And I have to tell you, I was a mess. I was so nervous. And the first shot of the day we did, I was sitting on the witness stand, and I didn't expect, you know, that to be the first shot of the day. And they, you know, said action, and there's the jury, and, you know, there's the prosecuting attorney, and I'm like sweating up there. And it was a great first experience. We had a wonderful director that was, he knew it was my first time doing television, and he was, you know, really helped me out. And I actually did that with a fellow, the guy that played the lead on that show, the lead culprit, I guess, with Billy Magnuson from As the World Turns. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the first time I met him. And the episode is called Sweetie. It airs every once in a while, and we were all just a bunch of male prostitutes.
okay. I'm sure I saw it, and I'm sure I'll see it again with all the reruns that they have on. Law & Order is a fabulous jump-off show also. A lot of have done that in the soap world. Tika Sumter was just on it not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a good jump-off point, too. And there's some fabulous acting.
Wonderful work, yeah.
Mm. Well, let's see. We have Tammy here from Queens, New York. Tammy, say hi to David.
Hi.
Hi, Tammy. How are you?
You might as well just call me Langston because I feel like her when you took that shirt off and she just, like, dropped her tongue to the floor.
I appreciate that.
I was literally scared to call in.
No, I'm so glad you did.
I don't get starstruck. I talk to the stars all the time. I've been to the studio a bazillion times, but you just, like, totally take my breath away.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate hearing that.
The only thing I'm not liking is the storyline with that girl that you were involved with, and now you moved on to Langston, and now as of the other day, you got another one in your bed. What's up with that?
He's kind of jumping around, and I don't know if it's because maybe he wasn't sure where things with Langston were going to go, and maybe, you know, a lot of people have just been wondering, is Langston another notch on his belt? But he keeps coming back to her, and again, we were talking about this earlier, the conversations that they have, they're pretty intelligent. I mean, he's really getting to something with her when they're talking about, I think the first time they slept together, that was a whole conversation about her parents and, you know, what happened
right.
to that. That scared her into sort of the position she's in now, and he's like, no, you got to get out. You got to explore. You don't want to be someone that wakes up one day and realizes that, you know, you've missed out on your own life. So he makes some good points. But I'm not really sure at what cost yet. I, you know, obviously have to there's some part of me that has to agree with him when I go on set to play the role. But it definitely makes for interesting conversation. I've had conversations with family members and you know, distant cousins, and we just kind of roll around theories about him. But I think that's part of the charm of the character right now, is that he's kind of mysterious. We don't know what's going on with him, and I can tell you it's a blast to play that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yep, you're like just rolling around with everybody. Except me. I need to get on the show now so I can be with you too.
Oh my God.
Right.
Well, you know it's right up Ford's alley. He could just hop around and again, sounds like something he would do.
Well, unfortunately, Marty's a little out of your league, and Tay is a little bit too old for you, and so am I, and that really stinks.
I don't know if that would matter to Ford. I think he'd be game. He just, as you can see, he just does whatever he wants to. So,
how old is Ford supposed to be?
Well, I read in a script that, you know, because he's getting his graduate degree, one of the scripts said 23. I'm 24. I'll be 25 this year. So I think he's somewhere in there. It'd be safe to say he's just going into his mid-20s, we'll say.
Also, as an actress, I know age range is different from actual age. You know, people play something in their age range. So I just wasn't sure exactly where you're supposed to be fitting in there.
And I think that also might be the idea that, you know, we haven't revealed exactly how old he is. We know, like, the area. You know, but people were giving me a hard time. You know, oh, you shouldn't be with Langston. And I was like, well, the guy that plays Marco is a lot older than I am.
True.
That's technically weird.
And physically, Cole is a lot older than Star.
Yes, this is true. But it all works out and makes sense on camera, and that's the whole beauty of the whole thing.
Actually, you're younger than my daughter. My daughter just turned 25 on Valentine's Day.
Ooh, a Valentine's Day baby.
Yes, I tell her she's extra loved.
Extra loved, that's cute.
Nice. All right, yes. Tammy.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Ford. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Huh. Well, expect more of this in doubles and triples, David, because that's the girls going crazy. So now I have to ask you, what do you do to maintain the case of abs that you have going on? Because I can't say six-pack. I can't, you know, it's just like, hello, I got to do some laundry.
I appreciate that. Well, I was actually talking to Mark Lawson and David Fumero a lot lately, so they're good role models to have. They're both, I believe they're both in their 30s, and they're still, you know, plugging away and doing very well, as you know. But it kind of just depends on the shooting schedule. I'll sort of work certain meals around the shooting schedule, and like most guys, you know, that do competitions or whatever, we'll just cut out some carbs as I get close to shooting certain scenes. And I admit sometimes it's not as easy as I'd like it to be. Sometimes, you know, you slip and have a certain kind of meal, and you're like, I forgot I'm shooting this certain thing. So in my opinion, I feel like my body can fluctuate a lot because, you know, I'm used to training it very specifically. But, again, I'm lucky to have the role I do on the show where you know, doing something I love, working out, is a part of the job. And it's just, you know, it's a portion control. It's doing certain exercises when I get close to the shooting. And it's definitely something to be aware of, but it's not something I want to sort of be the all-encompassing reason for doing the show. I do enjoy doing scenes with my shirt on, and I I like working in you know, scenes where we can just go back and forth and there's real drama to it. It's always very rewarding, and you feel like you've really accomplished something at the end of the day.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, David is a very good friend of mine, and Mark, I remember when Mark first came on the show, I gave him the same speech I gave you, as a matter of fact. David told me that Mark kind of got him into doing the workout, and he said that Mark is really brutal when it comes
to
the training. Well, Mark, a physical fitness trainer out in California before
right.
he did the acting thing. So, yeah, he definitely gives David a run for his money.
Oh, yeah. And those, I mean, they're always going out. They're always talking about it. And mm-hmm. you know, the fact that Mark plays, you know, like a Navy SEAL. Type,
right.
I mean, he fits the bill perfectly. And, I know David Fumero has always been, you know, filled that void on the show. I mean, since he was, I think 24 is when he said he got the show. And so he's kept himself together for quite a number of years, and it's just really impressive and very inspiring to because I'm still the new guy in the block, and just watching these guys and like taking a cue from them, you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot to do to keep up with that, and it's a good healthy competition, I would say. It feels great.
Right. Well, we love you with your shirt on. It's okay. Don't worry about it. no problems. All right. We're going to go here to area code 727, which I believe is somewhere on Florida, the West Coast. 727, what's your name?
Me.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, sorry. My name's Tara. I'm a huge One Life Club fan.
All right.
Well, say hi to David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Tara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Thanks for calling.
Trust me, no problem.
Okay. Did you have some questions for David?
Yeah, I just wanted to know how you got cast on One Life to Live.
Sure. It was, like I was saying earlier, it was something that, you know, go through a lot of auditions here in New York City, and, you know, it's more of a numbers game than anything. It's like, well, the more times I go out on an audition, the more I increase my probability of actually landing a job. So I was just going to a lot of open calls for, you know, musicals and, you know, going to some TV auditions that my agent submitted me for, and I was just trying to do as much as I could. And so while you're doing that many, you sort of forget about them after a little while. Like once you've done them, it's like, all right, let's move on to the next one. And basically that's what happened with One Life. I went in to see Julie Madison, who's the casting director at ABC for One Life to Live. And I'd seen her before for something, I think, last year. And so she had me back in, and I read for the part of Ford, just like, you know, a lot of guys. And then they sort of whittled it down to me and I think six other guys for a callback with the executive producer. And we went in, and again, I thought, I'm looking around the room, and I'm thinking all these other guys could do it. We had some models in there. We had a guy that was on Broadway, and so, you know, you kind of do it, and you think nothing of it, and by the time I got home that day, I got a phone call saying I had booked the job, and the rest at this point is kind of history. You know, just did this stuff, and then the fans were so appreciative of the character that I got asked back to do a contract role, and I'm very grateful for that because it's given me a chance to act and to also make money, and at this stage of the game in New York City, that's the perfect job. So and I'm having the time of my life. It's a great show to work on, and I'm really glad that the fans are, you know, excited for the character and still supporting daytime, and it's just been very rewarding. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Frank Valentini nice?
He is. No, that's a great question. He's very nice. He's very sweet. I actually talked to him at the Broadway Cares event the other day. We had a great conversation. You know, he's very meticulous about what he wants. He knows exactly how he wants something shot when he's directing, and he can be a big help as far as certain character things. When I was struggling whether or not to play Ford Nice, he would come on the set and be like, oh, let's go exactly this direction. He was just very clear, almost as if, I mean, he could act the part himself. He's strong. He's a good looking guy and very tall. Like he could be on a soap himself. And so when he shows me something, it's very clear what he wants to do. And by the same token, he knows what he wants. So sometimes if he's not getting it, he's very quick to say it. So I have a lot of respect for that. I wouldn't take that as that he's, you know, mean or upsetting. I would say, you know, he knows what he wants, and he knows how to get his actors to do that. I had a conversation when I first joined the cast. I went to pick up some scripts from the studio, and I ran into him, and he said, how you doing? And I said, I'm all right. I'm a little nervous starting on the show, and, you know, I don't quite know how I fit in or what I'm doing. He's like, well, listen, I cast you because I wanted you, and you wouldn't be here if I didn't want you around, so you shouldn't be nervous, and just have fun. And I didn't really realize how badly I needed to hear that until I heard him say it, and from then on, it was a lot easier to go to work just because I knew that he was in my corner, and he said to all of us in the casting, he loves us and wants us to do our best work. So when you have somebody like that at the head of a company like that, a company of actors like that, you feel like you can do anything, and that there's a lot of room to play and do, different storylines that the audience will find interesting. And, he says, do something, and you're like, yeah, why not? Let's try it. So it's exciting to work for him. Great question.
Yeah, because I've written in a lot of letters to Frank Valentini about being cast on the show.
Uh-huh.
I've been in plays and been told I'm a great actress, so.
Oh, great.
And I've been writing him for a couple of years now, so.
Well, I know he gets them, and so it's important to, if you feel like trying your hand at New York City, it's the place to do it.
Well, I'm going to New Hampshire this summer, so maybe a friend of mine will bring me to New York, because my friend lives like half hour away from the city.
Oh, that's great. Are you working, are you doing any acting in a summer up in New Hampshire?
No, it's actually originally where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
So I just stay with my grandma.
Wonderful.
Well, if you come to New York, it'd be something to check out. Definitely pursue that if that's what you really want to do. There's nothing like pursuing what you really want to do.
Absolutely.
I've actually wanted to act since I was, like, two.
I know the feeling. I can tell you exactly. I know the feeling.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for having me on the radio show.
Anytime.
Are any other stars coming on, like, tomorrow? Or
you can go to stardishradio.net. There's a calendar there that gets updated. Every time a guest comes on, they'll be on that calendar. And there's also a Facebook fan page for Star Dish that you can check out for the calendars.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's something now, as a just breaking into your craft on your own to be able to give encouraging advice to kids that want to do the same thing, no?
No, absolutely. I mean, because I've been in that position too. And even still, at the level that I'm at now, I still would be in that position if I met somebody that I really admired. For me, if I ever met Hugh Jackman, I think he's one of the greatest actors working today, and he's also sort of a jack of all trades. He does stage as well as film, and got a beautiful voice. And I think persona off screen as well is very important, that he's a family man and very sweet to his fans. And, I just put myself in everybody's position that, if I met him, I would really appreciate any advice he would have. And, but I can honestly say, because I've had very supportive parents in this field, my dad always said, if you have a plan B, you'll have to use it, which is a pretty daring thing for a father to say to his son. He wants his son to make money and earn a living. But, there's nothing I'd rather be doing. So to have that support from my family, knowing that they're behind me, it's been sort of my saving grace through all this, because it hasn't been easy. But going to bed every day knowing that I'm pursuing exactly what I want to be doing with my life is, makes me sleep better at night. So,
right, and the fact that I can kind of get a feel for some of the newbies that come on the show, and I do feel that you are the type of guy who would lend his helping hand to someone that was up and coming, and I can appreciate that about you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I would in a heartbeat, because, like I said, we've all been there, and you just never know how encouraging you're being. I think right before college, I worked with some kids at a summer musical theater program, and just to be able to experience their joy about discovering something for the first time, a song or dance or something that you just never know. I mean, that kid could grow up and move to New York himself and do exactly what I'm doing, and we do it together, and then we become peers. And I think that is such a rewarding thing to be a part of.
Absolutely.
Just for that reason alone.
I totally agree with you. All right, we have time for one more caller. This is Maggie. Maggie is a very loyal listener. Just she might be a little bit hard to understand, but I'm here for you. Maggie, say hi to David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Maggie.
How are you? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for watching.
And then, how do you like to work with Disney and World?
Can you say that again, please?
How do you like to work with Disney and World?
How do I like to work with Britney?
Say that one more time, sorry.
How do you like to work with Britney?
Oh, how do I like working with Britney? I love Britney, Maggie. She's so much fun to be around. Even if we're not shooting, we're just, you know, talking on set or making sure that we, you know, making sure we're running our lines and making sure that things are ready for the next scene. She's fun. We also share a love for burgers. We try and find the best burger in New York City.
Yeah.
And she's recommended a few restaurants to me.
Yeah.
And I recommend some restaurants to her, and so we're on the quest to find the best burger. But she's so much fun.
I want to meet her. She's so amazing.
Yes, she is amazing. She wants to meet her.
I hope you get a chance. She's fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye, honey. She's a very big Britney and Kristen fan.
Oh,
so,
that's fantastic. She should be.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, David, we have 3 minutes left, and before I let you go, I have to get a promo from you.
Oh, great. Sure thing.
Oh, whatever you want to say, as long as, you know, this is David Gregory on Stardish Radio, however you want to make it. And I'm recording now, so whenever you're ready, just shoot.
Okay. This is David Gregory on Stardish Radio from One Life to Live, and just encouraging everybody to listen. It's a great show. I had a great time. And, again, just stay listening. Congratulations on your 2 years coming up with Mr. David Canary. I think that's fabulous. And I hope to be back.
Anytime. There's an open invitation here for you. Let me just get a couple things real quick into the chat room. David, do you have an official website?
I do. It's right now it's DavidGregoryOfficialSite.com.
Okay. Now, besides Facebook, which I already sent out a ton of over the last couple of weeks, sent you a million friend requests for everybody in the Stardish Bank. Besides that, are you on Twitter or is there MySpace or anything, any other social networking things that we can know about?
So far, I just have the Facebook. I just talked to somebody at the Broadway Cares event about doing Twitter, so I'm going to get on that. It hasn't happened yet, but it's the next thing.
Okay, perfect. Well, definitely stay in touch with your fans, Guy, because they're going to support you. Like I said, they'll support you one way or the other, and no matter where you go, they'll follow you. And
I appreciate that.
You have a fan here. Welcome to come back to Stardish whenever you want. You have my number. Anything you want to talk about story-wise, you want to get in connection with the fans, here you go. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. It's been a true pleasure. And if for you guys in the chat room, check out Brandon's Buzz, because David did a really in-depth interview that only Brandon can do. You know, Brandon is brains of soap. I'm just the chatter. So check out Brandon's Buzz's archives, because he did a really, really good in-depth interview with David and got to know a little bit more about him behind the character and a little bit more personally. So go into his archives and download that and make sure you take a listen. Until then, I guess that's about it, guys. And check out StardishRadio.net for what's coming on. And we're going to let David go on that note. Thanks again, David. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Joanne. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.